than a decade since the United States unleashed its military on the Middle East in the name of fighting terrorism, countries in the region have only seen terrorism expand, posing a serious threat to their national security. One such country is Iran, a nation accused by the US and its Western allies of sponsoring terrorism, yet a nation that has borne the brunt of brutal terrorist attacks itself for years. Attacks carried out by armed groups that are ideologically different but share one common goal, inflicting massive civilian casualties. More than a dozen strikes in only 5 months, killing and injuring hundreds. But who are these groups? What's their motive and where are they based? The Iranian government has fought a decades-long battle against armed terrorist gangs in Western regions. These areas have been plagued by militant groups, secular, nationalist or Islamist, maintaining a reign of terror. They target religious ceremonies, military parades or go on a shooting spree in a crowded neighborhood. One such notorious group is the PEJAK. PEJAK is an acronym that stands for the Party for Free Life in Kurdistan, headquartered in the Kurdistan province. It is responsible for the deaths of hundreds of Iranian civilians and men in uniform. The group has stepped up its attacks in recent years. These are exclusive mobile phone photos caught on April 2, 2011, 13 days into the Iranian New Year. These are the bodies of three border guards killed in the latest PEJAK strike here on the Iranian border with Iraq. Three military conscripts doing their national service. Next in line is the secular nationalist terrorist organization Komolev. The separatist group has a history that spans four decades. Since its inception, Komolev's makeup and level of activity have changed. It has split into different factions with different leaders. Its military base is in the Qandil Mountains between Iran, Turkey and Iraq, and its military offices are in the Iraqi city of Soleimaniyeh, headed by Omar Ilkhanizadeh. Komolev's hands are covered with blood from grisly murders. According to official statistics, Komolev loyalists have slain more than 2,000 people since the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran. 324 of those murdered were Kurdish civilians, 30 were Kurd religious leaders called Mamustas, and the rest civilians and people affiliated with the government in other Iranian cities. In the recent attack, Komolev men took another innocent life in the western city of Sarqez. This is the assassin, 29-year-old Semko Khorshidi. He fled to the capital, Tehran, after the murder, only to be caught on the 26th of March 2011. Another thorn in the side of the Iranian government is the Salafi jihadists, one of two branches of Salafism with no particular organization or a name to go by. The first group promotes building of the self and following the forefathers of Islam, but the latter group subscribes to Salafist jihadism, a school of thought that promotes violence against those who do not believe in their cause. To them, it doesn't matter if you're a Sunni or a Shia. As long as you don't support their cause, you will have to die. The group is behind some of the most horrendous acts of terrorism against civilians in Iran's western province of Kurdistan. This rare CCTV footage caught on October 2010 shows Shahu Abdullahi and his accomplice Ismail Araghi, both Salafi jihadists, carrying an AK-47 in a sack as they ride on a motorbike down a narrow alley. Moments later, they are walking back with the rifle in the sack and a penchant to kill. When they arrive here, the main square in downtown Sanandaj, a city in Kurdistan province, they pull out the gun and empty a full magazine of live rounds on the unwitting traffic police and passers-by, sending everyone running for cover. 6 people were murdered and another 9 were wounded in the merciless shooting rampage. Their most recent attack came on March 24, 2011. They opened fire on the people and police in downtown San Andaj, killing 2 and wounding 3 others. 20 days previously, they killed 4 local employees of Iran's Environmental Protection Organization, adding to their long list of murders in the name of a religion that prohibits the killing of innocents. This is 22-year-old Edris Nemati, one of the 8 men arrested for the assassination of the 4 environmental protection employees in San Andaj. To him and his partners, they were infidels who had to die. We asked Edris to give us his account of what they did.
وقتی رفتیم اونجا ده دقیقه بیازه هیچ کی اونجا نبود. ما رفتیم توی خونه خرابه خودمون قایم کردیم، گفتیم شاید مأمور باشه، مأمور بیاد درگیر بشیم. حدود صدای 20-25 صدا میدید. محمد گفت کلاشمو بیرون آوردم و اونا زدن. پریزم گفت رانده رو زدم دیگه ماشینه افتاده توی در. یه خشاب به من داد که خشابه حدود شاید بگم 20-22 این حدودا کم شده بود. خشاب بعدن شنیدیم که اینا معیبان
To Edris and his accomplices, they may have been only 4 men, but to their families they were fathers and husbands who will no longer be around to put bread on the table. Kamal Hossein Panahi, Muammar Marghoubi, Masoud Ali Khani and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, an accidental namesake of the Iranian president, were gunned down by Edris and his friends, whom they later confessed to have mistaken for 4 other targets. We visited Kamal Hossein Panahi's grieving family. He was the son of a father with a humble background who raised him with money earned from manual labor.
پیر بوچانی گره ده دستو گیره یا می گیره کم شکیه آقا گیره دست منو.
As they seek to take a step closer to their God, the ripple effects of their actions continue to shake the foundation of the families of those they kill for years to come.
نمیدونم وقتی سراغ باباشو میگیره بهش بگم چی. اون 4 سالشه، اون خیلی بچه است، از همین الان بی پدر بشه چجوری بهش بفهمونم که پدرش به شهادت رسیده، شهید شده، اون که چیزی سرش نمیشه. آخه اونایی که این بلا رو سر همسر من آوردن اصلا چیزی از انسانیت سرشون نمیشه. آخه این بچه چه گناهی داره که از همین سن کم بی پدر بشه؟
In the mind of a Salafi jihadist, the murder of every infidel will raise his standing in heaven. Take 25-year-old Lokman Amini, the man who assassinated Mamusta Sheikhul Islam, a high-ranking Sunni cleric, on September 17, 2009. He and the like of him strongly believe that murdering those whom they call infidels will take them closer to God.
باید تو خیر، تو جمع کردن خیر از یه دیگه سبقت گرفتیه، بزنیم بکشیمش. ما اگه کارمون اینه اومدیم کافر بکشیم، اینم میکشیم.
But it's a relief to hear them say that you are not supposed to kill your own father.
اگه هر کسی باشه فرق نمیده، فقط کشتن مثلا پدر این مشکل داره، ولی داداش فرق نمیده.
One question that may come to mind is what makes these jihadists kill people they don't even know. It turns out, in their secret clan meetings, their leaders pick out the targets they deem infidels and fill the heads of the would-be assassins with reasons why they have to be murdered.
من گفتم گفتم یکی از اسم محمد صلی الله علیه و سلم نماینده رهبر تو مجلس خبرگان، یکی از سران کفرین، یکی از اونایی که اهل سنت گوشه‌گیر کرده.
Contrary to what the assassins thought, Mamusta Sheikhul Islam was not a political figure, and his teachings involved Islamic teachings and ethics only. He was a scholar of good standing in both Sunni and Shia communities, and considered a unifying figure between the followers of both sects of Islam. This is the mosque where Mamusta Sheikhul Islam led his last mass prayer. His killer recounts to us how he assassinated him.
ایشون تو در ایستاده بودن، من از پشت سر بهشون نزدیک شدم. دیگه توی در رو گرفته بودن، صدا زدم گفتم مثلا میخوام رد بشم. اون فاصله رد شدن، چون نرفتم بیرون، تو در ایستادن یکم رفتم کنار. فاصله که از در بیرون رفتم، اسلحه رو در آوردم و بهشون شلیک کردم. شلیک کردن دیگه نگاهم نکردم چی شده، زدم نزدم.
But what is Islam's position on assassinations carried out under its name? Does it condone jihadist murders or does it ban them and punish the perpetrators? We put those questions to a senior Sunni cleric in Sanandaj.
قرآن می فرماید من قتل مؤمنا متعمدا فجزاه جهنم ابدا. کسانی که مؤمنی را، کسانی که مسلمانی را، کسانی که اهل دینی را به قتل برسانن، جزای آنها و کیفر آنها جهنم ابدی هست. لذا آنهایی که دارن به عنوان جهاد مسلمانان را قتل و عام میکنن، اینا ما میبینیم که از خط اسلام خط نگرفتن.
Our next stop is the house of 52-year-old father of five, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, another target of the group's indiscriminate attacks. Mahmoud was an environmental activist, a documentary filmmaker, and an author. His mourning daughter Shahla shared with us her feelings and told us more about her father.
وقتی هم از اداره می اومد، معمولا دیگه صبح زود بود، اصلا هر زمانی که موقعیتی داشت همینجا می نشستن و می نشستن پای نوشتن. اگه چیزی هم میخواستن از فرنگ لغتایی که داشتن در می آوردن دوباره شروع میکردن. یعنی خیلی فعال بود. پارسال مأمور نمونه شدم. کسی بود که آزارش به هیچ کسی نمیرسید به جز اینکه به محیطش واقعا دلسوزانه کمک میکرد. عاشق طبیعت بود. جرم پدر من یا امثال پدر من حفاظت از حیوانات بیزبون بود. اگه این جرمه حرفی نیست.
This is Mr. Ahmadinejad at work, untangling a mountain goat from a trap set by poachers. He and his colleagues filmed this footage for a documentary they were making. So what are the responsibilities of an environmentalist like Ahmadinejad? Is there anything that could make him a target deemed legitimate in the eyes of a terrorist? Tayyib Mahmoudi, the deputy head of Kurdistan's environmental organization, told us that the province's vast natural beauty has made it a hub for environmentalists.
محیط‌بان بر حال وظیفه‌اش در واقع حفظ و حراست از زیستمندانی که تو منطقه است، از فون، از فلور، فرق نداره، هم گیاه و هم جانوران. بر حال منطقه شهرستان سرندج با توجه به اینکه منطقه تحت مدیریت نداره، کلیه مناطقشون زیستگاه محسوب میشه. بر حال هر روز بر اساس نیاز منطقه در منطقه حاضر میشن.
In the ideology of Salafi jihadists, if they accidentally kill the wrong person who meets their definition of a real Muslim, that person is meant to be killed and will go straight to heaven. They think God does not allow good and evil to go together in one place. But if that ever happens, if one true Muslim happens to turn up in the ranks of the infidels, they are meant to be there to get killed.
یه نفر تو این هزار نفر که مسلمونه بکشمش، من رفتم کافر بکشم. حالا این مسلمون افتاده جلو تیر من، این برای من عذره، برای اونم عذر داره دیگه.
The Salafists operate in the name of a revered name, Jihad. It's an Islamic term meaning holy war. Since the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks in the United States, the term has been ascribed a negative connotation by many foreign government officials and the international media. But true jihad gives Muslims the right to defend themselves when attacked, to protect Muslims and non-Muslims against abuse, and to intervene between the oppressed and the oppressor when peaceful negotiations collapse. These are the core parameters of jihad. But the term has been misinterpreted by terrorist groups such as radical Salafis who kill in the name of jihad.
جهاد ما امروز با خودمان نیست، نباید مسلمان تفرقه را به وجود بیاره. خدای تبارک تعالی به ما توصیه میکند واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. خدا میفرماید شما همگی به ریسمان الهی که همون قرآن است دست بگیرید و تفرقه به وجود نیارید.
On the 5th of April 2011, the capture of a Salafi hideout became the headline news. While we were in Sanandaj, we decided to visit the hideout. To our surprise, it was a ramshackle hut in the middle of nowhere with enough room for only two people. Edris tells us how he and his partners used to live here, in conditions that spoke of their determination to isolate themselves from a society teeming with infidels.
حتی برف می اومد مثلا تا وسط کمر باشه. اونجا یه دو خونه، یه خونه دو خونه سالم داشت. ما اونجا نایلون گرفته بودیم. دیگه یه جایی درست کرده بودیم واسه آتش. دودش بالا میرفت، اونجا بودیم، کیسه خواب اینا داشتیم. دیگه یه مدت مثلا چند وقت یه بار آب گرم میکردیم اینا، گذران زندگی میکرد. اینجوری بود، خیلی سخت بود.
Apart from ideology, there seems to be other reasons that encourage young men to join extremist groups. Economics professor Hamed Qadirzadeh believes there's a direct relationship between a person's education and financial backgrounds and their radicalization.
There are significant relationships between rich men and following the others. Who are rich used to make some selection. Who are not rich will be selected by some others. Since there are some poor people in our area, poor in case of education, poor in case of money and income level, then they will be selected by them.
And security in this region has been a concern for the Iranian government since the early days of the 1979 Islamic Revolution. Back then it was groups like Komoleh and Democrats terrorizing the nation. The 2003 US-led invasion of Iraq marked the emergence of a new anti-Iran terrorist group called Pejak, an offshoot of Turkey's PKK, and finally came the radical Salafis in 2007.
در مرحله اول انقلاب این کار بر دوش کومالو دموکرات بود. حالا اونا در این طرحشان شکست خوردن. شکست فاحشی هم خوردن، منفور شدن تو مردم، مردم اونا را نخواستن دیگر از شهرها، اونا را بیرون کردن. امروز همون کار هست، ولی اما از همون آستین و همون جا، ولی اما رنگش عوض کرده، رنگ دینی به خودش گرفته.
The terrorist groups in Iran are mainly operating in the country's border provinces, and the number of their attacks against Iranian targets has gone up significantly over the past decade. An increase that experts blame on the presence of foreign military forces in Iraq and Afghanistan, the two countries flanking Iran in the west and east.
I think geopolitically and geographically, it's a result of ongoing political situation in region, especially in Iraq.
The 2003 US-led invasion and subsequent occupation of Iraq gave rise to the formation of extremist groups who recruited and influenced young, impressionable minds in the region. The US military presence in Iraq provided Israel with a strong foothold in the country, making it an unwelcome neighbor of Iran. Mamusta Bahmani believes the US and Israel have gone from confronting radical groups to turning them against their own native countries. As a result, young men such as Lohman and Edris carried out their jihadist operations against their own people rather than the foreign occupiers, a fact that Edris and Lohman both acknowledge.
از اونجایی که دیگه آمریکا رو بزرگترین کفر میدونستی. ولی اعتقاد این بود که باید اول انسان خودش رو دور برش درست کنه دیگه. دور بر ما همه کافرن. بیایم با این کافرات جنگ کنیم. اینا رو درست کنیم بعد به اونام میرسیم. از اینجا شروع میکنم تا به اونجا برسیم.
دیگه وقتی که دوست داشتم جواد باشه، وقتی که اینجا نزدیکتر بود، خدای بزرگم میگه از کفاری که بهتون نزدیکتر شروع کنید، من اینجا شروع کنم.
Radical armed groups are turning their guns on people of their own faith rather than the real enemies, whom according to the basic principles of their ideology live in Washington and Tel Aviv. The religious and political figures in Sanandaj tell us the wrong-headed extremist beliefs imported from Saudi Arabia and Pakistan, among others, are the root cause of current threats posed by terrorist groups to the security of Iran's border provinces.
در اینجا هم خود مسلمانان ضرر می کنند. در اینجا حرکت و دعوت اسلامی ضرر می کند. در اینجا ما داریم ضررش می دیم. در اینجا اگر این کارها نبود امروز، اگر این ترورها نبود، اگر این افراطی‌گری‌های دیگران نبود، امروز چیزی به عنوان نیروی آمریکایی در افغانستان نبود.
The 9/11 attacks in the United States provided it with the perfect excuse to launch a military campaign on the until then not very common phenomenon of terrorism in the oil-rich Middle East region. It also provided it with the perfect opportunity to destabilize the countries opposed to the American hegemony by giving financial, military, or moral support to terrorist groups in those countries. Iran is one of those countries that has had to do battle with terrorist groups inside its borders. A fight that's left many dead and injured on both sides. Terrorism is not only one country's problem, it's a global problem that needs a global solution.